The Spring Inventory Liquidation Sale has started at one of the largest men's clothing stores in Chicago. Suits 2020 has suits at 60% off, 70% off, even 80% off. Buy one, get two free. Buy one, get three free. You name it, we've got it. Executive suits, normally $550, are now buy one, get four free, or pay just $110 each. Suits made in Italy, normally $795, on sale for $210. Now that's better than buy one, get two free, and only at Suits 2020. Slim fit suits and suits with vests have just arrived and are on sale. Beautiful silk ties have been reduced to $7 and dress pants marked down to $20. Hundreds of boys' suits are on sale and marked down along with boys' shirts and ties with discounts of up to 80% off. You won't believe the savings at Suits 2020. The entire store is on sale for only 1 week, so don't miss it. Suits 2020 is located at 7651 North Caldwell in Niles. Call 847-676-2020. That's 847-676-2020.
What would happen if you suddenly lost your electricity or your natural gas, even your cable TV, because a neighbor didn't contact Julie before starting a digging project? From trees and mailbox posts to fences and decks, remember to contact Julie before you dig. Know what's below. Contact Julie 2 business days before you start. Simply call 811 or go online at IllinoisOneCall.com. It's a free service. It's smart and it's the law.
This is it, Bears fans. The NFL draft begins today. Who will the Bears choose in the first round? We'll break down all the possibilities throughout the day and be with us all day tomorrow for analysis and reaction. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
4 o'clock from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio. I'm Adam Harris. The Wolves are down 2-1 in a best-of-5 playoff round. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Our guy and friend and afternoon host, Dan Bernstein, has a source that says the Bears think highly of Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport followed that up with a report that has the Bears speaking with the Titans to acquire tonight's second overall pick to target the former Duck. We're going to know tonight, 7 p.m., the draft kicks off from the Auditorium Theater at Roosevelt University. Draft Town is now open to the public in Grant Park. More news from BNB this afternoon. Bears running back Matt Forte said he's not holding out.
You'll be at OTAs, the next phase of OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for me to hold out. I mean, for what? You know, if they want to do it, they'll do it. If they don't, they won't. I mean, that's pretty simple to me.
Forte was honest about his conversations with GM Ryan Pace, and that full candid interview is up at BoersandBernstein.com. Bears head coach John Fox expects tight end Martellus Bennett to be a Bear through the entire draft weekend, despite trade reports brewing. All this football hype, and yet the Bulls play playoff game 6 in Milwaukee tonight. Scores David Schuster is there. David.
All right, Adam. We'll find out starting in about 2 hours just what the Bulls are made of. Will they show their grit, talent, and determination and finally close out this series? Or will they allow a seventh game to take place on Saturday, setting themselves up to become possibly the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0 series lead? Now, to a man, the Bulls say they remain confident that they are the better team, but they certainly didn't show it in the last 2 games, and honestly, they didn't play all that well even when they won the first 3. The Bulls need to shoot much better, keep their turnovers down, and attack, and that, of course, starts with Derrick Rose. Live up at the Bradley Center, on David Schuster on WSCR, The Score.
Otherwise, there will be a Game 7 on Saturday. Nikola Mirotic finished 2nd in the Rookie of the Year voting. Minnesota's Andrew Wiggins won that. Sox are out of Baltimore. They look to get back to their normal routine tonight there in Minnesota. Chris Sale is on the mound. The Cubs are off today. They host the Brewers tomorrow. The Blackhawks will host the Wild in the opening game of Series 2 against the Wild. 8:30 puck drop tomorrow night. This scoreboard update is brought to you by the convenience stores of Speedway. Tune into the PNC Draft broadcast presented by Northwestern University School of Communication live on WBBM News Radio 780 and 670thescore.com tonight from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. from Draft Town in Grant Park. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Patrick Manley, and Dan Pompey will provide the full draft coverage. PNC, the official bank of the Chicago Bears. I'm Adam Harris. You're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on the Score is tonight. 6:35 pregame Sox and Twins on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you. NewMailMedical.com.
Boers and Bernstein. Afternoons on The Score.
And the Bears getting the ball first. Eric Kramer, who's had good success against Tampa Bay. Conway and Ingram, the wide receivers. Kramer has some time, and he's going deep for Conway. And Curtis Conway. close to the 15-yard line. A big play of 47 yards with Anthony Parker defending.
That man right there, Curtis Conway, they've got to get him integrated into this offense. He's got too much big play and speed in him to be throwing 5 and 8 yard rounds.
Boers and Bernstein.
Joe's own weed.
Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
At 4:04 on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Boers and Bernstein. We have been full ball and football intensive, and you know we're going to stay football intensive.
We are, as we continue to dig into the draft and digging into the numbers, is brought to you by Julie. Call 811 before you dig. The Bears with the 7th overall pick, and there's some,
remember it well.
Yeah, there's some who believe that the Bears should take a wide receiver with the 7th overall pick this year, be it Cooper or White. I don't know about taking a wide receiver with the 7th pick. You look and you wonder how that works out. Really want to do that? I don't know, because I'm trying to think of when they might have done that. But joining us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline, find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com, is the Bears' 1993 round 1 7th overall pick out of USC. Did okay. Curtis Conway is with us on The Score, now doing work for the NFL Network. Hello, C-Way.
What's going on?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Outstanding. We're enjoying this entire week, and I'm sure the NFL sounds like they're having a great time with all this as well.
Yeah, man, it's almost like a Super Bowl environment, man, but I think it's good for the draft. The environment that they set up here is awesome.
We're always talking about wideouts, and now with the way offenses have changed in college football, it's one of the few positions that you can really still scout because of all of the proliferation of the spread. It's hard to scout quarterbacks. It's harder to scout running backs who are moving differently and with different responsibilities, certainly offensive lines. But, man, you can pick out wide receivers, and there sure seem to be a lot of them. I don't know if that's just the popularity of the position, if you got guys who would otherwise play baseball or basketball who are finding wide receiver to be a sexy thing to do, but there seem to be enough of them to keep feeding the NFL.
Well, I think now you see the emphasis of football, even in the high school level, is going to more of the passing game, which means you're going to find a lot of wide receivers. You know, when I came out, it was more about the running backs and quarterbacks and defensive guys, and, you know, you had a few good wide receivers. But now, I mean, the emphasis is on the passing game. And with all these quarterback gurus and, you know, it's becoming a passing game and a quarterback-driven league, guess what? The quarterback has to have someone to throw it to, and I think that's what's making the wide receiver so popular.
Yeah, so in other words, you would be okay with taking a wide receiver number 7, since you might have been a wide receiver taking number 7?
Well, not in this year's draft. I mean, this wide receiver class is deep. I think if you have a top 10, unless you get Amari Cooper or Kevin White sitting there, even Devontae Parker, yeah, maybe you go take that. But I think if you don't, especially the Bears, I think they have Alshon Jeffrey, who I consider a number 1. I think he's earned his stripes, and I think he can handle a number 1. I think he can get a really solid wide receiver in the 2nd round. I mean, you're going to have guys, maybe Nelson Aguilar is there, a guy, Philip Dorsett from Miami, a Tyler Lockett. These are guys that can play. I mean, these are 100-catch type wide receivers with speed. So you have your big receiver, your veteran guy, and Jeffrey, and then you go get one of these fast guys that can stretch the field, but also has proven that they can go inside and outside and definitely polish. So I don't know if I go there. If I need defense, I think I go defense.
See, I'm not sure I agree with you on Jeffrey being a quote-unquote number 1. I mean, he has had some big numbers. But see, for me, that guy is the guy that keeps the defensive coordinator up late trying to figure out how he's going to scheme that side of the field, always understanding where that guy is. I mean,
he can run right by
you. I mean, Jeffrey's really good, but he has to make so many contested catches because he's more a fluid long strider than he is a guy who's going to get above the safety.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you're thinking. I think if you can't play nobody one-on-one on Jeffrey and think you're going to have a good day with him, not in this league. There's not enough corners that can do that. So I think you have to worry about a guy like Jeffrey. And maybe you don't if you get another quality guy like a Nelson Aguilar or Philip Dorsett. Now you try double-teaming those guys and leaving Alshon one-on-one. So, you know, I think he's good enough to hold his own. You don't have to be in this league now. You don't have to be a top-notch guy to put up big numbers, because you're going to have your opportunities to throw the ball, and you don't have a lot of cover, pure cover corner Darrell Revis type of guy. So in that case, it's a lot different than when you had to go against a Deion Sanders, a Amigas Williams, you know, Dale Carter, those kind of guys. You got a lot of zone cover corners in this game today, which means you get Alshon in the zone, I think he can make things happen.
I remember when I first started covering the team in 95 was your breakout season. It was my first year around every day up at Old Hallis Hall. That was a year where the offense just went crazy under Ron Turner, and you and Jeff Graham were just tremendous. But what was being said at the time was, you know, this is that Curtis is finally starting to get comfortable. And when I was asking about that, I said, you mean comfortable football-wise? I said, no, just comfortable professionally. Just comfortable personally, just living in Chicago and doing this every day as a job, that it took you a little bit of time to adjust to the NFL life. You know, I see all these kids and all these college kids are going to be drafted and all of a sudden be thrust into something that, despite a high-level college play, that it's still, in a lot of ways, completely foreign to them. If somebody were to ask you, you know, here's what I learned about my transition to do it to being a full-time NFL pro with all the expectations on me, what would you say?
Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself, number one. When you're drafted that high like I was, especially coming to a team where, number one, was never known to be a throwing, passing team, and all of a sudden you get this speed receiver, and he's supposed to save the day. I mean, the expectations were so high. And you just have to come in and learn. You know, it's a lot different than when I came out. Again, these guys have quarterback coaches. They have receiver coaches. The process is so different than what it was when I came out. You know, you have a lot of, I would say, leadership and guidance before you even get on a team. Like, these guys have been through, you see these guys on these camps and these leading up to the combine. They have all this stuff leading up until this point. You know, when I came out, it was more so you just got dropped here and you hope that the veterans would take you under their wing and teach you the ropes. And then it's a little different when you're coming in as a first-round draft pick and, you know, you're in a position where you can take someone's job. So you have to really – I had to really feel my way through that, number one. And then I think me coming out, I only had a year of experience playing wide receiver, so I had to learn how to be a professional wide receiver, not relying on my speed all the time. I thought maybe I could just run by everyone. Nah, not at this level, buddy. You got some pros that's sitting here studying, man. So I had a rude awakening when I got here. Like, look, buddy, yeah, you first-round draft pick and you can run, but you're not just going to come and rip the league up, man. So it was a whole different experience. And again, playing for a team that really wasn't a passing team, you're not going to put those kind of numbers up. But, you know, as I grew, I think Jeff Graham was the best thing that ever happened to me because he taught me how to play wide receiver. He taught me how to use my speed. And I was with him every day, and I watched him. You know, guys like Ricky Prohl, that was great route runners. Even Bobby Engram, who was younger than me, but he was more polished as a wide receiver coming in. So all these guys that I played with, although I had the speed, the big play ability, these guys were pure wide receivers that, man, trust me, every time in practice I had my notepad out. So I took a little bit from each of those guys, and I think that made me better over time.
You know, I think that's interesting, Curtis, because as a rookie, you had 19 receptions for 231 yards, and you go all the way back to when this radio station started. I can't even remember if we fired you after that first year. I don't know if we did or we didn't, or we're mad at you or disappointed in you or whatever, but listening to you now.
You know exactly what was going on. You guys threw me out of the league.
Oh, okay.
Don't try to act like you guys did, man. The whole city was like, this dude's a bust. I mean, let's just be honest here. I mean, in everybody's eyes, I was a bust, and I was a bust in my own eyes. 7-6, 19 catches, that's terrible. You know, but again, I knew who I was, and I knew what I had to do. You know, and I just thank God that I was a first-round draft pick and didn't get kicked out of the league, because if I was probably in the third or fourth round, I probably got cut. But, you know, the reality was, man, you know, things worked out. You know, I was blessed with some good players to come in to help me out. I had all the talent, but I was definitely